The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 27, verses 21 to 26. It is page 235 in the New Testament. The words are from Acts chapter 27, verses 21 to 26. Allow me to read the words. After they had gone a long time without food, Paul stood up before them and said, "Men, you should have taken my advice not to sail from Crete. Then you would have spared yourselves this damage and loss. But now I urge you to keep up your courage, because not one of you will be lost. Only the ship will be destroyed. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and to whom I serve stood beside me and said, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. So keep up your courage, men. For I have faith in God that it will happen just as he told me. Nevertheless, we must run aground on some island.'" Amen. The people who got on the Alexandrian ship lost all control in the gale storm named Northeaster. The moment the storm hit, the Alexandrian ship was beyond their control. For many days, in midst of thick darkness, when they could see neither the sun nor the stars, they didn't even know the direction the ship was being swept away. The goods that they wanted to protect, despite endangering the journey, were also outside of their control. So that the ship, reduced to a tiny boat in midst of the deadly storm, would not turn over, they had to throw overboard all of their goods that they so wanted to keep. But this did not mean that they were now able to control their future. They didn't eat or drink for many days. But the deadly storm did not show any sign of subsiding. As a result, even the hope for rescue faded away. Any hope of future had completely evaporated. They let go of the last hope, thin as a string, and all of them fell into the despair of death. If only they had been on the Alexandrian ship, their lives would have so ended in the midst of a deadly storm at the Mediterranean Sea. But on that ship, Apostle Paul was also on board. So long as Paul, who was to stand as the witness of the Lord at the court of the emperor, according to God's providence, was on board, even the Northeaster could not swallow the boat on which Paul was on. So the moment people who lost control fell into the despair of death, Paul became the sole person to stand up in the midst of that despair. And he declared to people who were in despair of death to keep up their courage. The Greek verb euthymeo, which has been translated in Korean as not to worry, has the original meaning of being joyful. Paul was able to make this declaration to the people who had let go of the last hope and had fallen into the despair of death because of the words of God. The deadly storm had not passed by Paul because he happened to be a great apostle. Paul was subjected to deadly storm just like others. But in the midst of that storm, God was with Paul, in words through his messenger. This is from verse 24. Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand trial before Caesar. And God has graciously given you the lives of all who sail with you. Paul knew this clearly. The fact that even if the northeaster were a deadly gale, the words of God that created the heaven and earth had more power. So long as God's words were with him, no deadly storm in this world could stop him from going to Rome in accordance with his words. Paul encouraged people who had fallen into the despair of death and testified this about God. This is from verse 23. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me. First of all, Paul testified this about God, that he belonged to him. To Paul, God was not far away, a God of somebody else. To Paul, God was always God to whom I belong. To put it differently, it was a declaration about himself that he was a man of God who belonged to him. During the past hours, we have reflected in detail about the meaning and the importance of this declaration that Paul made about himself, the declaration that clearly revealed his affiliation and his identity. But the Paul's testimony about God did not end there. Let us look again to verse 23. Last night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whom I serve stood beside me and said, to Paul, God to whom I belong was the God whom I serve. Now, affiliation and serving do not mean the same thing. Jewish people also belong to God, but they did not serve God as God. They ended up killing Jesus, whom God had sent to earth as the Messiah, by nailing him to the cross. This was the result of them more faithfully serving the traditions, customs, and judgments of Judaism rather than the words of God. Paul belonged to the bloodlines of the Jews, but he served Jesus, whom the Jews had nailed to the cross as God Emmanuel. In this way, belonging and serving are not the same words. There can be many people who, from the outside, look like they belong to God, but in reality, do not serve God. But Paul, who belonged to God, was Paul who served God. If we really belong to God, we should be people who serve God. The Greek verb latruo, which means to serve, also has the meaning of to worship. A person who serves God is someone who worships God. You cannot serve God without worshiping him. Like the two sides of a coin, worship and serving cannot be separated under any circumstances. The worshiping God is a starting point of serving him. Therefore, although it may be possible to say, in theory, that one serves God, although he or she does not engage in worship, Such saying cannot apply to Christians who serve God. Worship and serving of God are not confined to the inside of a church. The starting place of worship and serving is the church. But the place where they're completed must be a place outside of the church where one lives out one's life. What I'm saying is that the worship and service that are offered in a ritual in the church must be completed by the worship and service outside of the church. If the object of the worship and service which are offered in rituals in the church is God, the object of worship and rituals which are made up of the life outside of church are other people. What I'm saying is that the worship which is given in the church must continue on to serving others outside of the church in the places of our lives. Now, Paul was initially a believer of Judaism, and like other Jews, he denied Jesus and did his all to trample on the church. He was sure that this was the way to serve God. The God whom he worshipped and served was not God who had revealed himself through the words of the Bible, but an illusion which had been manufactured by the traditions and customs of Judaism. But the minute he was called by the Lord on his way to Damascus, he was able to leave behind the false illusion of God which he had been serving. Now that he was called by the Lord Jesus, whom he had denied all the while, was the Emmanuel God who had died on the cross as an offering to pay for his sins and lived again in 3 days, breaking the power of death. From then, Paul only worshipped and served that God. And Paul's worship and serving of God always continued into a life of service for other people. When Paul asked the Lord, who had appeared to him on Paul his way to Damascus, who he was, the Lord answered, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Now, up to that time, Paul had never once persecuted Jesus. He had merely persecuted Christians. But even so, Jesus said to Paul, "I am Jesus whom you are persecuting." Jesus had equated himself with the people who were being persecuted by Paul. And Paul realized an important fact. To serve God meant serving people whom he loves. The reason Paul went all over the Mediterranean world no less than 3 times, despite all kinds of difficulties, was because he knew that serving as many people as possible, even just one more person, was worship and serving of God. The letter that Paul wrote to Christians in Rome during his third mission trip in Corinth is the book of Romans. This is from Romans chapter 1, verses 14 to 15. "I am obligated both to Greeks and non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel also to you who are in Rome." The reason that Paul decided on Rome as the last place where he would throw his life at Ephesus during his third missionary journey was not because of his curiosity about Rome. It was to serve people who were even in Rome through the Gospels. In this way, Paul's worship and serving of God continued on to serving people. This was the same for Paul in the midst of the northeaster gale. The people who ended up being swept up in the gale and had fallen into the despair of death were people who had ignored Paul's warning about the dangers of the journey at Fair Haven. And from Paul's perspective, there were people who deserved his anger. Paul could have just left them in midst of despair of death. There was no one on the ship who would have blamed Paul if Paul had decided not to tell them of the words of God which held him. But Paul cried out to those who had fallen into the despair of death to be joyful and gave them courage with the words that God had given him. And I've said that at this time, Paul was not of a young age. The Paul who had already entered the late stage of his life was suffering from illnesses. In such condition, he had not eaten or drank anything for many days, being swept up in the deadly storm. Among the 276 people on board of the Alexandrian ship, it is clear that Paul, who was old and sickly, was physically the most exhausted. But in that gale of death, rather than trying to secure his physical comfort and safety, he served people who were in despair of death with the words of God. He was a Christian who worshipped and served God. And for him, to serve God in the midst of that fierce northeaster gale was to serve people who were in the midst of the despair of death. This is the very reason that we respect Paul. If Paul had worshipped and served God, but his worship and service were confined to the temple of Jerusalem or Sanhedrin, there is no reason for us to know of him or to respect him. The reason that we, Christians, want to emulate Paul is because his life of worship and service to God continued on to serving people. And this was the reason also that every place that he went became renewed. The world where people gather to live together become polluted and disintegrates because each lives selfishly for oneself. The world can only become new through people who serve other people. God, whom they serve, works through them. To a month ago, I ran into our church member at the church dining room and asked how his family was. He said his daughter, who had graduated from a well-known university, was working as a volunteer in Africa. He said he had wanted his daughter to become a professor after finishing her studies, but she was living in Africa and lamented that children do not turn out the way parents want. And so I said this to him, "What a daughter to be proud of. Children who live according to the wishes of their parents cannot renew the world. The world becomes new through persons like your daughter. What almost all parents of this world want from their children is for them to become successful, eat well, and live well. How many parents do you think send their children to college wanting their kids to serve the poor of Africa? The reason that parents put up with expensive tuitions to invest in their children with higher education is all because they want them to do well. Therefore, children who live according to their parents' wishes cannot renew the world. To the contrary, the more they're educated, they only end up contributing even more to the polluting and disintegration of the world with greater selfishness. The person who renews the world is a person who has escaped the fetter of selfishness that the parents have imposed on them. Only such a person can live a life for the sake of serving others and not for the riches and glories of this world, and become a pathway for God, whom he or she serves, which can renew the world. Among the 12 tribes of Israel, Paul belonged to the tribe of Benjamin, which had given rise to their first king. When Paul was born, his father named him after the first king, Saul. Now, do you think Paul's father named his son Saul with the wish that he would go all over the Mediterranean world despite all kinds of hardships in order to serve people, that even in the midst of a deadly gale, he would be somebody who serves others more than his old and sickly self? That can't be right. It is clear that he named him Saul so that Paul would become successful and enjoy a good life as King Saul had. If that Saul had lived the way his father had wanted him to live, the Paul that we know of could never have existed. Paul could be Paul because he threw away the name Saul that contained the selfish wishes of his father and became a man who only served God, the littlest of the little, Paul, and consistently lived a life in which he served people whom God loves. This was the happy duty of Paul who served God. And God, using Paul as his pathway, renewed the world. During the second Wednesday evening of this year, I had dinner with a member of our church at our church dining room, and this member was 77 years old. He is a longtime resident of Hapjeongdong, and he was a living witness of how decrepit Yangwa-jin and the surrounding areas were before our church was established. It was about 5 years ago. One night he saw young people lining up to go into Yangwa-jin, and he asked one young person what was going on. And the person told him that he was going to a lecture. And out of curiosity, he followed them. It was a new believers class lecture which was taking place at the main worship hall. It was the first time that he had sat in a church, but the content of the lecture moved him. Once he got started, he finished the new believers class, the mature believers class, and the class for the called, and even started to come to Sunday worship services. And it was one Sunday, and after the Sunday service, he was drinking tea at the first floor fellowship hall. When a member had spilled coffee on the floor by mistake, another member hurriedly brought a mop to wipe it away. In the eyes of the elderly member who had majored in economics in school and had engaged in business activities all his life, the action of the member who was mopping the floor did not seem like a person who was being paid for what he was doing. A person who is paid for labor could not mop the floor with such gestures and facial expressions. He had never seen anyone who mobbed with such gestures and facial expressions in a public place. This was not something that could be explained with logics of economic theory that he had majored in and based on which he had lived out his life. He discovered that this very thing, was the Christian service and their happiness. After that, he also lives as a Christian. He does so in order for him to enjoy and share the happiness of serving, which can never be explained with the logics of economics that he knew. And needless to say, as long as he lives in such a way, his surroundings will begin to become renewed. At the National Assembly, hearings about candidates put forward for various ministry positions are ongoing. The President Moon Jae-in had made a campaign promise of 5 principles of exclusion from public office. It was a promise that persons who had engaged in speculative real estate investments, false address reporting, tax evasion, plagiarism, and problems with military service would not be picked for a high public office. But it is not an exaggeration to say that among the public officials appointed to high public office, not one person is free from a breach of the 5 principles of exclusion. It is probably because it is very difficult to find somebody who does not cross the lines set by the 5 principles of exclusion. But this is also an evidence of how people with more education and higher status sought to live more selfishly. If this is so, then our society cannot change fundamentally, even if people in positions change. And what about us? If we were to stand at God's hearing today, are we any better than the candidates for ministry positions at the hearings of the National Assembly? Could it be the case that although we worship and serve God each week, our worship and services are confined to inside of the church? Could it be that our life outside of the church is completely disconnected from the worship inside the church? Could it be the case that I, who worship and serve God in the church, live a life which is more selfish than anybody else's life? Could it be that the speculative real estate investments, false address reporting, tax evasions, plagiarisms, and issues with military services are all something that apply to me? Because of the large salary that I receive as my entitlement, could it be that many people are losing their jobs? Because of the entitlements that I enjoy, could it be that the polarization in our society is becoming ever greater? Could it be that the world does not become renewed despite countless Christians in the world? Because the churches of this land is filled with Christians like me. If you live this way, then no matter how much you are educated and how high you climb up in position, you will end up living a life confined to the fetters of logics of economics and never enjoy the true happiness of Christians who have transcended the logics of economics. If we are truly Christians who worship and serve God, let us now put an end to living just for ourselves. Let us serve people whom God loves as much as we serve God. Like Paul, whether Greeks, non-Greeks, wise people, or foolish people, let us pay back the debt of love we owe to God, to other people. Let us serve people not only when I'm comfortable, but even when we are in the midst of deadly gale. Let us become Christians who not only serve people when we are young, but like Paul, people who serve all the more as we age. Let us at all places and at all times prove that we are Christians who serve God by serving people. It is then that the Lord, who broke death apart and lived again in 3 days, will use us as his pathways and renew the world which has fallen into despair of death. Our happiness that transcends the logics of economics is at that very place. Let us pray. Because Paul was a Christian who worshipped and served God, he consistently lived a life where he served others with the words of God. Because of Paul, we who are at the opposite side of the earth became children of God who worship and serve God, as Paul did. May our worship and serving of God continue on to serving people. Help me to become a Christian who is the first to voluntarily give up my entitlements so that more people, even just one person, can enjoy benefits. Allow me to become a child of faith who prays that my parents will return their assets to society to serve others. Help us to become parents of service who pray and bless their children to study and work harder than anybody else in order to serve people who are powerless and vulnerable. So may my life, in which I serve those whom God loves, become my happiness that transcends the logics of economics. Amen.